that potential amendment.
Mr. Chairman, before we go away from that, could I just ask one other thing? We keep talking about these recommendations that has come from this committee that went to the commissioner, and the commissioner has approved them. All that can be done, and it doesn't have to have any approval from the legislature?
Through the chair, under existing statute, the commissioner is responsible for developing the application form for a school construction project. Under existing statute, the Bond Reimbursement and Grant Review Committee is obligated to make suggestions on that application form. The committee has made those suggestions on the application form to the commissioner. The commissioner has accepted that, those suggestions. So, yes, under existing statute.
What I was also referring to was all of these national standards that you're saying that we're going to adopt, and that it's going to take $40,000 for a person to even fill out the application, which is a lot of money for that has to be attached to the information. And the commissioner has the authority to approve that without anyone else having any say-so over that?
Well, maybe I can help here a little bit, Representative Davis. This bond reimbursement committee has a member from both the House and the Senate. I am the House member, and they are providing recommendations to the commissioner. The commissioner can adopt the regulations. As always, the funding for any of the projects that the commissioner adopts has to come through the legislative funding process.
But those things then also have to go out to the public hearing process also, don't they? I mean, there's no public hearing on that?
I don't.
If it's not coming back here and it's not getting a public hearing, what you're saying, a committee can get together, make recommendations,
yeah,
and he can implement
it. A wide representation from the educational community. Thank you.
We need to look at that committee.
Okay. This is the language that we're considering for a possible amendment that would attach to our amendment number one, which is section two.
Line 10, page one, line 10.
Page two, line 9. And that existing language there would begin now, this would be inserted, for districts that do not have the resources necessary to accomplish planning and design phases of the project, comma, though you can require that school construction projects be phased for purpose of planning, design, and construction. Mr. Guiley, am I accurate in that?
Yes, sir. That would be my suggestion.
Discussion.
Yeah, I just have since we were talking about the Bond Reimbursement and Grant Review Committee, I have a question for Mr. Guiley.
Representative Nicolai, please.
Through the chair, Mr. Guiley, in the rural schools, some of them don't bond, and so would this recommendation apply to their grants also, or what kind of impact does
through the chair? This section of statute has to do with eligibility for school construction grants, so we're talking just about grants here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it does apply to all grants then across the state.
Representative Olberg.
I think we're trying to reinvent the wheel here. Mr. Chairman, there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of schools built in this state, some under construction today, and all this happened without us doing anything. And now we've got a simple two-line proposal here, which makes, and maybe that's the problem, it makes sense to me. And we're going to expand it into something that doesn't make sense.
We have a potential amendment. It's before us for discussion. If someone wishes to move the amendment, we will discuss it and vote on it. If it's not necessary to move the amendment, then
I'd like to move the amendment for discussion purposes.
I would object.
Okay, it's been moved and objected to that we have amendment number two, which is the wording that I have just given you, that for districts that do not have the resources necessary to accomplish the planning and design phases of the project, require the school construction project to be phased for the purpose of planning and design and construction. Discussion. Hearing none, Laura Lee, would you take the vote, please?
We're discussing. I mean, the vote to see if we will vote on it.
The vote to see if we'll adopt this amendment.
I want to discuss it.
Please.
I'm not so sure that I want the amendment myself. I just said that we just have it for discussion purposes, because I'm not so sure that that takes care of the problem. What I hear him saying is, for those school districts that are can afford it, may be able to design and pay for all these things, where other school districts that might agree that they can't afford it will then have money coming to them to pay for it. And I don't particularly like that either, because the school districts all say, well, we don't have the money for that, because they, every district can use their money for something else. If it's going to be a standard set there to say that you're going to do these things, I think it got to say more than what's being said in this amendment that he's offering us, because all he said was, if the school district is capable of paying for it, what advantage will that school district have over the district that don't have the money to pay for it? Would it mean that their project would get moved faster if they have the money?
Representative Olberg.
As I understand the process, Mr. Chairman, any district can apply for a grant to apply for a grant. Apply for a grant to do the paperwork necessary to get a school construction grant. There's nothing in your regulations that says some school or some districts can get a, using the term, the amount $40,000. Some school districts can get a $40,000 grant and others can't. So that in theory, every district in the state can, including those that have their own planning organizations, can be, if nothing else, reimbursed for some of those costs. Is that possible?
Representative Mackey.
That's right. And that's why, if I may be so bold as to say that I don't like the amendment, is because it does exactly that. It would eliminate a school that potentially has the money, or you could say has the money, like the Anchorage School District. If they have a planning department, then that would eliminate them from the ability to go to apply, should they choose, on their own. Nobody's making anybody do anything. If they choose to apply for a grant to do the planning for a new school in Anchorage, they can do that under this. And with the language of the amendment, obviously they wouldn't be able to any longer, because they have the money to do it themselves.
Quick question. Does that mean that then they are under the restraints of the school Department of Education? Are there any restraints? Because you've asked for help, because you don't have the money for your own design, does that mean that you also are under special restraints of spending more money or less money?
Through the chair, any portion of school construction cost right now that a district chooses to be reimbursed for at any time in the future is under the constraints of our statutes and regulations. If a district proceeds with planning and design from their own resource, they are still obligated to follow state statute through that process, including competitive bidding and length of advertising, gross square foot guidelines, and all other guidelines that exist. If they have the resource to upfront the funds, they have that option. They can apply for reimbursement after the fact, but they're still subject to the constraints.
Right. So that he's answered my question. They can apply for reimbursement.
Yeah, there is no free lunch. We have an amendment before us, and there's been an objection. Laura Lee, would you take the vote, please?
Representative Tom Bundy.
No.
Representative Gary Davis.
No.
Representative Peacock.
No.
Representative Harley Olberg.
No.
Representative Betty Davis.
No.
Representative Irene Nicolai.
No.
That's not what I wanted.
Okay, we have not.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Representative
Invisible Woman.
You're not here.
Representative
Cynthia
Tui. Yes, I am. I mean, no.
We have not adopted amendment number two. I think we have had a thorough discussion of House Bill 312. I would like to move this bill out of the committee. Is there a motion? Representative
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we move committee substitute for Senate Bill number 312 Hess amended with individual recommendations.
Any objections?
And accompanying fiscal note.
Hearing no objections, I'll learn to say Senate Bill eventually. Be patient with me. Senate Bill 312 has moved from the Hess Committee. That moves us to Senate Bill, with our thanks to all that participated, to Senate Bill 70. And I will pass the gavel to.
I still don't see where this has done anything. this May language in here? If you don't have to do it, why have the bill? That's why I backed off of it, because it says May.
We're going to take a break?
It doesn't do anything.
Take a 5-minute break, please.
I call the committee.
Back to order, please. Next on our agenda is Senate Bill 7, Assistive Technology Loan Guarantees. The sponsor is Senator Duncan, who is not able to attend today, and Roxanne
Stewart
will be here testifying for the senator.
Madam Chair, Representative Davis, Betty, are you departing?
I need to talk with her for a minute.
You're not leaving.
You don't need me, do you?
What a dumb question.
I'll be back.
Of course we need you.
Pass it out that quick. I already know the deal.
Okay, you have 1 minute.
I'm going to be.
Does look vaguely familiar.
I have a minute.
You have a minute.
Okay. Senate Bill 70 is substantially similar to House Bill 139, Representative Davies' bill, which was heard by this committee in February. Some clarifications were made to the legislation based on a report which was received in January from Bivoke Rehab. There's a copy of it. Representative Cott has a copy he can pass around or if you're interested. But basically, the clarifications that were made to the legislation that occurred as a result of the report were to clarify the respective responsibilities of the banking institutions versus what happens in the Division of Voc Rehab, because that was kind of garbled in the previous legislation when it was originally drafted, and the report recommended that this methodology be used to clarify. And that basically starts on page 2, line 6. It lays out the way the loans would be handled, and on page 2, line 21, an assistive technology loan committee is established within the Division of Voc Rehab. And the other changes from the bill, from the House version, House Bill 139, were clarifications that say that no state money may be expended on the program. There will be no call on the state general funds as a result of this program. If the federal funds that are available at present go away, the program goes away. And that was a clarification that Senator Kelly in Senate Labor and Commerce requested.
Adopted?
Yes, it was. It's in this bill. So I think I went a little over a minute.
You done real fine. Madam Chairman, I remember Representative Veazey having a concern, but I think that concern has been addressed in this bill insofar as to ensure the state was not assuming any form of liability. I'd like to make a motion.
It's a little premature for just a moment. I have a couple of questions.
You're the boss.
Thank you. Yes, I know. There were several questions here that were brought up. One was the makeup of the handicapped or the makeup of the group that was approving or disapproving the loans.
The loan committee.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not the physical, this is not the banking committee. Is that correct?
Do you mean in the actual lending institution?
Right. No.
This is in the Division of Vocational
Rehabilitation.
Right.
And the makeup of that committee within the vocational rehabilitation is made up of what? Of whom?
It consists of the director or the director's designee, a representative from a financial institution who is experienced with consumer loans, and at least one but not more than three persons with disabilities.
Okay, thank you. And the other question was intent language. Well, it said here, and I don't, you might have been have addressed this before, while the bill has no general fund fiscal note, it does call for federal receipts to be used. The suggestion to add intent language, which says a minimum of $250,000 shall be used to capitalize the program rather than $100,000 currently being called for. Has that been addressed before?
I think that it has not been explicitly addressed. I think that at this point the Assistive Technology Loan Committee, or they're not a loan committee, their actual name evades me at this point, but Stan Ridgway could address that, has indicated that they can afford to put up $100,000 a year for this program. Any more than that, I think, may be difficult. And Stan Ridgway from Voc Rehab would probably be a better person to address that. in particular.
Are there other questions?
No, just a comment. I think Voc Rehab determines that they can afford $100,000 to put up. They have a better gauge, I'm sure, to use determining that amount than we do, or whoever is suggesting $200,000.
Thank you. Okay, if you'll just sit with us. We have several people signed up. Are you on your way?
I do have a bill up in finance.
We have Robert Berryhill.
I'm just sitting and listening. Sitting
and listening. No. Yes. Stan Ridgway. Stan.
Okay.
Just state your name for the record, please.
Madam Chairman, I'm Stan Ridgway with the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, and I signed up to try to answer any questions that the committee might have. I would offer that during this year, while these two bills have been introduced, we've had a group of consumers working in Anchorage with the banking industry, and we have, and during this time, the Community Reinvestment Act regulations have continually changed, and in order for the banks to get credit for community reinvestment through this loan program, they have to put up some money. So we have two banks, North Rim and Key Bank, and that is willing to give their names now and say that they will deposit money into the fund if the bill passes. We have one other bank that won't make the has made a tentative commitment but chooses not to have us use their name at this time. So it looks like we will have some money coming in from the private sources, which will help capitalize the fund.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Stan, Betty? May I just make one comment? I've had several visitors from several groups that have used or are associated with the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, and the main consensus of feeling down there is that there, and I'm sure that you've known this, that there are groups out there that feel they're not being represented.
Yes.
And I think that was the reason for increasing the number of people on this on the committee. I don't know very much about your department, but I need to learn more because there's a definite concern out there of people that feel they're not being equally treated, and I don't know if this is this raising this more than three persons will help or not. I just don't know.
I'd be happy to try to address that.
If you would, I'd appreciate it.
The division has four programs. One is vocational rehabilitation. One is assistive technology, and then we also do Social Security claims for the federal government, and then the ADA for the state government. Two of those programs require that we have consumer-controlled boards to act as advisory boards to work with vocational rehabilitation and assistive technology. The Vocational Rehabilitation Advisory Board, which is made up of 15 members, all either persons with disabilities or business representatives, meet four times a year to advise the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation on policies. It is true that not everyone who is disabled in the state can be on that board. At the present time, it costs us about $60,000 or $70,000 to convene that board and to get input. That's money that we have to take out of the pot to serve people with disabilities. Same thing with the Assistive Technology Advisory Board. That advisory board is nine members. We convene that board four times a year to provide input, and they provided the input and supported this loan. The loan committee is a small committee that helps us determine how much money can be loaned, how much money can be set aside to do buy downs on the interest loan. We're trying to operate this loan program so that most of the money can be used to leverage loans. The larger the committee, the more it'll cost to get it together. And with a five-person committee, one representative from the department, one from the banking industry, and three people with disabilities should be enough representation, along with the guidelines from both advisory boards, to provide a lot of input.
Uh, appreciate your input on that. We have another testifier if you want to sit close because we'll probably need this further. We have Earl Clark. If you please step forward, Mr. Clark. State your name for the record. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify before the committee today. My name is Earl Clark. I'm an independent living specialist with the Southeast Alaska Independent Living Center, and I speak in support of this bill. I can do this because I personally had the experience of at a very crucial time in my life. Department of Vocational Rehabilitation helped me with a computer which freed me from a typewriter and which allowed me to continue my professional work. Whereas I was having difficulty with a typewriter, I found them impossible, yet the computer that was supplied to me by DVR and helped me learn to use it and to use it effectively helped me in my career and saved me probably psychologically through a very difficult time. I'm only one example of the type of good that this particular bill will do for a number of people in this state who can use and will use assisted devices to help them in employment. I do not want to belabor this fact because I know this committee has passed through a similar bill, and all I can say is wonderful. I probably can't add too much except for my personal experience, and this is can be multiplied many times over. Thank you very much.
Are there any comments, any questions of this witness? Anybody else would like to testify? Hearing none, we'll close it to public testimony. What is the wish of the committee? Now the word.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Davis.
Madam Chairman, I move that we move CS for Senate Bill Number 70, Labor and Commerce, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objections? Hearing none, this is marked out of presentation. Thank you. Gentlemen, ladies,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Attorney.
You know I'm all for assistive technology. It's helped me.